asked Jason Stan, he doesn't know that I was thinking this. During that song, when I used to travel as a musician, there was a younger band that we would come into, we would play places with when there were multiple, a multiple band event. And they would normally be there, and they opened up for us a few times. And they did some praise and worship songs. And they did this song. And first of all, if we can bring the chorus back up. I really like seeing the power symbol behind those words. Isn't that cool? I saw that, but every time I hear this song, they had, and I hope he doesn't listen to the messages. If he does, sir, I apologize, wherever you are in this world. But they had a bass player, and he was a young guy in high school, and whenever they would do this song, and I don't think the guy had the gift to sing. He really didn't have a microphone in front of him. He would be playing the bass, and they would start singing this song. And Jason, if you could, if I can put you on the spot. they would sing the chorus. Yeah, you can sing the chorus. And the bass player in the background, he would go, yeah! In between every space. Yeah! And go back to playing. That's good. We have to finish. You got to end up on that A there. Thank you, Jason. Put him on the spot there. You know, and every time I saw them, I was just kind of embarrassed for them. So I was like, man, that is a dorky thing to do. I don't know what you're doing. But now, every time I hear that song, I hear that guy in the back of my head. And I think, you know, it is kind of dorky, but man, maybe he gets it. Maybe he gets how great our God is, and maybe that's not something he was doing for showmanship, but something that it was just an outcry of his heart. Yes, filled with the Spirit. That our God's great, and we go to games. The Bengals will be playing tonight. Ohio played yesterday, and you go to those games and you cheer and you roar, and that energy is there. And then we come to church, and we just wonder where that is. And in fact, you don't have to turn there. We'll have it on the screen. James 2, chapter 26 says that as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This verse is normally used to describe what faith without deeds is. We're not going to mess with that today. We're going to go to just a simple fact that this verse states. The body without the Spirit, it's dead. So could we conclude that the body needs the Spirit? Yeah. Many of us have lived long enough that we have experienced the death of a loved one, the death of a friend, the death of someone that was close to us, a coworker, maybe a boss. And you've gone to the funeral, or you've gone to the viewing, and there is that body laying in that casket. And they just don't look the same. Is that just me? Do you guys agree? You just look at it and you think, that's not so-and-so. That's not him. That's not her. I mean, the body kind of resembles what they looked like, but that's not them. And most people are thinking it, and someone inevitably ends up speaking it as a word of encouragement. And if you've been in that line where you've been the one standing by the casket of a loved one and people have come through, you may have heard this a few times from people in that line where they say, that's not them. They're not there anymore. That's just the body. That's just the shell that they lived in while they were here on earth. And so, with us having experienced that, I believe we can all agree with James, what that verse said in chapter 2, verse 26, that the body without the Spirit, it's dead. It's just a shell. It's just a body. It's just a container. This statement is as true for a physical person that is now lying in a casket as it is for the church. We are called the body of Christ, are we not? The body without the Spirit is just a shell. It's just a body. It's just a container. The body without the Spirit is dead. So we can come to that same conclusion about our church. We need the Spirit. The body needs the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit lives in us, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit this month. He manifests himself through us. Now, that's a big church word. And I like wordsmithing. I like fancy words. Sometimes because a fancy word can put together a definition that you just can't put together with a single word any other way. You have to come up with all these other words, and sometimes you have one word that really gets the point. But if that one word isn't understandable, then it really doesn't get the point. It just looks really fancy. Kind of like we talked about sanctification last week. I hope you guys have a good understanding now of what sanctification means. Well, to manifest means to reveal. It means to appear, to show. And so the Holy Spirit, he reveals himself through each of us through the different gifts that we've been given. See, the Holy Spirit shows himself. And we talked about this the first week. The Holy Spirit, if you're a baptized believer, the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is God. That means God is in you. The purpose of one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, the purpose that we're focusing on today, is that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal God through you. A lot of times as Christians, and we'll come back to this in the last message, I don't want to be too confusing jumping back and forth, but I want you to understand this is a whole series. Everything kind of builds on each other. But in the last message, we're going to be talking about the idea of taking a mirror and turning it from a 90-degree angle to a 45-degree angle. Think about that. Come back in 2 weeks. Actually, come back next week. And then come back in 2 weeks as well. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal God through us. And the way he does it, the way he manifests himself. Now that we understand that word, isn't that a cool word? The way he reveals himself, the way he appears to the world, to each other, it's through the gifts that he's chosen to give us. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would, go on and grab your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible right in the pew pocket in front of you, that wooden pocket there. Grab a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. If you find the New Testament Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just keep turning past Acts, pass by Romans, and you'll end up in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 4, if you're there with me. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Notice the Trinity there, the Holy Spirit. Lord refers to Jesus the Son and God the Father. All is involved. We talked about this last week. And the week before, that we can't negate one piece. We can't ignore one piece. We have to understand that all three pieces are effective in working through us. And so the Holy Spirit works through us through these gifts. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in all kinds of tongues, which another word for that would be languages. And still to another, interpreting the interpretation of tongues or languages. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. First week, we talked about how important it is to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just this mystical power. He's not just some sort of thing that we just plug into the wall and we're plugged into the power of God. He's a person. And we have to develop a relationship with him. And part of him being a person is he makes decisions for the kingdom. And some of the decisions that he makes for the kingdom is what gifts to use in you. What gifts to give to you so that you can reveal God to other people. This one Spirit who gives many different gifts, he gives many different gifts for one common purpose. This is what's really neat, okay? He gave you a gift, a different gift. And he reveals himself to all those around you in a way that's different than the way he reveals himself through me. And this gentleman over here, the Holy Spirit reveals himself through Tim in a different way than he reveals himself through Julie. And yet, in a different way that he reveals himself through me. Now, even though these are all different people, and then we can go over to Kim and Jen and everyone else here. And it gets more and more diversified and more different. And all of these different revealings of the Holy Spirit, all of these different ways that he manifests, are for one common goal, one common purpose. It's very important to keep in mind those things. We're building some things this morning. So the Holy Spirit has given you a gift. A supernatural gift. A power. Because of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. So as he reveals himself through you. What this says to us is that the Holy Spirit wants to involve me in God's work. You know, in the Old Testament, you see many times where God comes down through an angel and he visits with people. Even at the beginning of the New Testament, you see these. And you don't hear about that quite so much anymore. Well, it's because I believe the Holy Spirit is in us now, which is different from the Old Testament. And God reveals himself differently through each of us in a different way, but it's all for one common purpose, and he wants to use you for that. He wants to reveal himself to others in only the way that he will reveal himself through you. And that's why we've been given these different gifts. Are we all following along together? Okay, I'm trying to keep the logic as simple as possible. Because it can feel confusing, but it's really not confusing. It's really very simple. Different gifts, one purpose. Got it? Yeah, okay, good news. Well, let's continue reading. Verse 12, it says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Kind of interesting, after the feeding of the 5,000 in John's gospel, he follows Jesus as he goes to the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in that time there, Jesus stands up and he shares a few things. One of the things he shares, he says, hey, you can come to me and I'll let you drink living water. And then John gives us a commentary, which John's pretty good about that. If you read John's gospel, pick up on those things, because John goes behind things. He's like, okay, this is what he meant. I love those places, because then as a theologian, I don't have to guess. I don't have to say, what did Jesus mean? No, John pointed it out. John said, here's what it meant. I talked to the guy, walked with him. I know this is what it meant. He said, what Jesus was talking about drinking this living water, he was talking about the Holy Spirit that had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so we understand that this drinking of the Holy Spirit, that is living water. We agreed earlier that the body without the Spirit is what? Dead. Jesus said, I'll give you living water. Holy Spirit flowing, moving, living inside of you. And we understand that through this, that this body, it is one unit made up of many parts. And we all come together to form one unit that fully displays God for man to see. That's the really, really cool part as we start to understand this. Because as God reveals himself through you, There's a part of God that's been revealed. And then God reveals himself through you. And there's another part of God that's been revealed. And God reveals himself through you. And there's another part of God that's been revealed. Now, how does he reveal himself? Through what? Through gifts. Through the gifts that you've been given, the Spirit manifests himself. And so as we all come together and we use these spiritual gifts that he has given us, God is seen more clearly because I see some of God here. I see some of God there. I see some of God there. I see some of God here. I see some of God here. Now, here's what happens is when you are neglecting your gift. I'm seeing God here. I'm seeing God here, but I'm not seeing God there. Or I'm missing the part of God that only you could show. Are you okay? Because this is aha here too. And so the body needs the spirit. Each part needs the spirit. And now here's the genius of it all. The way God has designed this, each part needs each other. Yes? All right, let's write that down. Did I say that right? I didn't. The body needs each part. There's the cue. So, the poor PowerPoint people, I don't see all my notes very well anymore. So, your part is needed in this church. Your part is necessary for this church. The Holy Spirit, through the gifts that He gives you, the way He wants to manifest Himself, gives you the power to belong. Amen? I think that's something we all want. We all want to be part of something. We all want to belong. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that because of these gifts that He's given us. Because see, when you're not displaying your gift, when that gift is not being used through you, the body is incomplete. We miss you. We need you. The body needs a spirit, but the spirit needs to be revealed through the body because the body needs each other. All the parts need each other. And we as a church, we're not going to reveal God as well as we would if everyone were using their gifts as the Spirit manifests Himself, as the Spirit reveals Himself, as God is shown through a church, then God will be seen, not the church. I like this. I like this a lot. So you have a place here, and God has made it so. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to belong. I find my place to belong by finding out what gift or gifts the Holy Spirit has given me. You want to belong? You want to feel like you're a part of the church? You want to feel like you're part of something important? I mean, there's nothing more important than sharing God with people. We think that soccer is important. We think our schedules are important. And it shows because that takes precedence over church. We need to get into the understanding. There's nothing more important than this. There really isn't. I can preach it till I'm blue in the face. But until you take it and put it in your heart and then act it out, put it in your lifestyle, it's not going to matter much. But I'll keep sharing it. I'll keep speaking it because I'm called to do that. That's my part. Isaiah was called to preach to the mountains. And sometimes it feels like that's what I'm doing. But I'm hoping that somewhere it's going to get in, and the Holy Spirit's going to be revealed through you. And then it's party time, amen? And then God's being revealed. So I find my place to belong by finding out what gifts the Spirit has given me. Now, we've got some tools. If you open up the little yellow sheet inside your... Okay, I need to make sure I remember that part. Inside your bulletin, two-fold sheet. This might look overwhelming. We're going to take a look at this in a minute. At the very top of that sheet, it says, what are the gifts that you have been given by the Holy Spirit? I've got some resources there that we've got for you. We've got two online resources. One is a general place. It's www.spiritualgiftstest.com. Pretty simple test. You go through, it's a little over 100 questions, and you get a chance to look at what your spiritual gifts are. Then there's another one. How many Facebook users do we have in here? All right. There's another one I found on Facebook that's a little easier to take, and it's just as accurate. And the great thing about that is you can post it on your Facebook, and it's there for you to see anytime you want to go back and look at what your gifts levels are. And you can even retake the test as you continue to grow and you build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He's revealed more through you. You can go back and retake the test, and it updates for you. So I've got that on my front page. If you're my friend in Facebook, and this is like a really cheap way of getting more friends. But if you're not my friend, ask to be my friend. And on the front page, as you're looking at my front page on the left-hand column, you'll see the spiritual gifts test. And it's got a little link there that says, I would like to take my spiritual gifts or something like that. I'd like to take my spiritual gifts test. So those are the two online options you've got. And you can also find it at the appsfacebook.com/SG for spiritual gift analysis. The other thing we've got, and this is a great, great tool. If you don't like to do stuff online, or the other side of things, if you'd like something that's going to be a little more in-depth, this is a personality test and a spiritual gift test combined in one. These booklets, we're charging $10 for them. I think that's our cost. I couldn't remember if it was $10 or $15, so I figured I'll do it at $10, and then we'll just eat it if it's $15. But $10 for this book, and this book is amazing. It has, you go through and you take your spiritual gift test, and then it goes through and it describes all the different spiritual gifts. It gives you what your, if you overuse your spiritual gift, what you need to be careful of, or some other things that you, your goal in using your spiritual gift. Great stuff. And then you get a chance to take a personality test, and then here's a really cool thing. It puts them all together with all the different spiritual gifts and personalities so that if you've got this personality and you've got this spiritual gift, here's the places where you can best fit. Here are the places where you're best going to feel like this is where I'd like to go. For this book, I've got to sign up. It's a yellow sheet out here on the table in the foyer, okay? So if you guys want this resource, you've got this. And if you, as you're waiting for this to come in, go on and take one of those online tests. A lot of you guys are not afraid of getting online, and that's exciting because you can get that today. In fact, even faster than getting it there. I want to have a seat for this part. I'll try not to make it lengthy, but it has every possibility to be because there's some really cool, exciting things here. We can take a look real quick at these spiritual gifts in your list there. Now, what we've got, this yellow sheet that you're looking at, this is a quick glance, and it's not exhaustive. This is a basic glance at what this body of Christ looks like and how the Holy Spirit can manifest himself if you let him by using your gifts. Like, for instance, if you find that your personality, you're the type of person, you can evaluate a situation and you can look at what needs to be done and you're good at organizing a team of people to get the job done, your gift might be administration. So take a look down that list if that's your gift of administration. If you like to keep people on track working together, that's administration. Take a look at that list, and if there's something that's interesting to you and you have that gift already, I mean, you can take the spiritual gifts test to confirm it. But I think a lot of us kind of have a general understanding, oh, that does sound a little bit like me. Go down through that list right now. Take a pen from in front of the pew, mark a mark beside something that looks interesting to you. And keep that in mind. Pray about it. Or I would really encourage you to just jump right in, okay? You don't have to really pray about it because I guarantee you, God wants you to be in service for his kingdom. I don't think that's disputable. I don't think you need to go and say, hey, God, do you want me to serve in the church? Of course, do it. So, you know, if you want to pray about it, fine. I'm completely fine about that. But my suggestion is, man, just jump in. And you know what? If it doesn't fit, we're not going to beat you up if you say you need to switch. I mean, we don't have Shorty out in the hall waiting for you, you know, saying, okay, you signed up to be a greeter. You're a greeter for 5 years. We're going to beat you if you don't. It's all right. Jump into something. And if it's not a good fit, say, you know what? I thought this was where I was gifted, but I'm discovering these other gifts. Because some of you might go and take these spiritual gifts tests. You might buy the book for $10 and you'll get done with it and you'll say, I didn't really feel like I could answer all those questions because they're all kind of churchy questions. Get involved. Just do stuff. Get in places in the church. And it's going to be stepping out of your comfort zone. But don't expect to feel like you belong when you do those things. Okay? Understand you're doing those things so that you can watch the Holy Spirit work through you. Because as you start jumping into different areas, then you go back and take the spiritual gifts test, and you'll be able to say, you know, there's normally 3 columns. One of them's got 4 columns. And a lot of times when you first take it, you're down the center column because you're like, I don't really know. I'm kind of in the middle. But then when you start getting involved in ministry, you start realizing, oh, that's definitely not me. And then you find other things. You're like, you know what? Yeah, people do come up to me for advice a lot of times. If people come up to you for advice a lot of times, you might have the gift of wisdom. And people come to you advice, and maybe you feel like you've got the right answers all the time, or you know, you're always right. And sometimes that's tough because it's easy to get arrogant if you've got that gift. But if you've got that gift, maybe there's some places that you can use that gift. We've got things listed down there. I encourage you to read through those things and look at some places where you can do that. A missionary correspondent is a great example. We're a strong missions-based church. Missionaries need someone to be on the American side to help send things over to them, to help do things there. Someone with wisdom will help to improve the missionary's ability overseas, and will also help to improve his relations here, as you have wisdom to be able to help and give advice on how people can better help the missionary. You see how it works? And there's a whole list of things down there. If you have the gift of wisdom, go on down through there and mark a couple of the things that jump out for you. The gift of administration that we talked about, there are some highlights there that you can be a coordinator, event leader. We need those things. Yesterday we had a car show, and I was kind of the leader. I had a team of people that were really good at doing stuff, but I'm a teacher. I mean, you guys kind of have realized that about me, and I'm not an administrator, but I'm a teacher doing an administrator's job. How great could the car show be if an administrator with the spiritual gift of administration was there and God's Holy Spirit was in you revealing God with a spiritual power and ability of administration instead of me trying to conjure up what looks like administration? Wouldn't that be great? See how you belong? You know, you've got all sorts of things down here. Discernment, you know, if you see that you can see through confusion to make a clear, conscious point on something, and you can look, and no matter how confusing or fuzzy it is, you can come down and say, oh, right, here's a solution. You might have the gift of discernment. And that's great because you could be used in leadership roles as a part of a team to be able to help guide a team. Because teams, we waste a lot of time sometimes. And if we had someone in that team with the gift of discernment to be able to say, right, here's where you need to go. And then you got people that are, you know, the teachers, and you got the energetic people and the doers and the helpers, and they're all part of that team. Then they can all go and spend their energy on a place where it's really going to be potent. But without you there, they just run around and they try all sorts of different things. We need you. If you have the gift of discernment, you are needed. You have the power to belong inside of you. We've got other things, evangelism. You know, if you have a strong concern for those who don't know Christ, you might have the gift of evangelism. If you find it easy to share Christ with others, you might have the gift of evangelism. If you do, a very obvious place for you to be is the evangelism team. Call me genius, but that'd be a great place for you, wouldn't it? You know, something that you might not think about, another great place for you would be the missions team. Going on missions trips. Because you're going there and you're serving and you're doing great stuff, but there are opportunities that open up where you can share Christ with people. You can be part of outreach events that happen here. As a youth sponsor, you could help teens as they try and reach their friends who don't know Christ. So you could be kind of a mentor role there where you're not actually having the hands-on, but you're a teen sponsor and you're there with the teens and they're coming to you and they're saying, hey, I've got a friend that doesn't know Christ. What do I do? And you've got the gift of evangelism and say, aha, here's what you do. We need that. Teen sponsors, who do we have here? Teen sponsors, yes? Don't we need that? Yeah. All right. Evangelism. Exhortation. If you have the gift of encouragement, that means that you might truly value people and want to help them and find more value for their life. You look at someone and you say, if you have this gift, you look at someone and you say, you know what? If they just did this, it would improve the value of their life tenfold. And you have this friendly presence about you. It's like a friendly and practical presence. There's another word that's involved with that one too that really... Friendly, understanding, practical are the three words that are associated with someone that has the gift of encouragement or exhortation. You know, one place that you might not think about, and you can go down through that list, any of those things, if you hear something and it sparks and you say, that's me, you can stop listening to me for the next 5 minutes and read that list. I want you to mark or circle, do something on that paper. I do not want a single piece of blank yellow paper. And do not dare leave those pieces of paper here. You will break my heart. Okay, take them home and throw them away there if you're going to do that. Just don't do it in my presence. That would break my heart. All right? So, if you have the gift of encouragement, one of the places it might not be as obvious is children's ministry. You might say, I don't like children. Guess what? How many children's workers do we have here? People who work in the children's department. Okay. If someone comes to you with the gift of encouragement, to you, the teachers, the volunteers, and Jenny, they're lifting you up saying, Jenny, I really appreciate what you do. I watched you in there, and I can't do that. I'm not good with kids. You did such a great job in there today. Does that not strengthen you? See, and then here's the great thing, because you belong, because now Jenny can do her job that much more better, because you've taken the power of the manifestation of the Spirit in you, you've revealed that part of God to her, and God has lifted her up through you so that she can better manifest the Holy Spirit through her. Amen. Every one of these gifts functions that way. Every part of the body needs to be part of the body. In fact, we need to fill something in up there that says, I only find significance and fulfillment when I am a functioning part of the body. Just knowing your gift is not enough. You have to get in there. You have to get involved. You have to be a functioning part of the body. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Things like faith. If you have the ability to trust God in the most adverse situations, you might have the gift of faith. Now, you might say, well, aren't we all supposed to have faith? Yes. There are those that have the gift of faith, and they are above and beyond the regular faith level that a lot of us are at. And those people are great to go and visit people that have been in the hospital. Join the pastoral care team. Go visit them in the hospital. Go visit them after they've come out of the hospital. Some of the people that are going through cancer treatments. Some of the people we've got a lady that comes to the first service, Joanne. She went through a car wreck and she's in a wheelchair right now, still healing. She's been through a long process. When someone with the gift of faith goes to her and visits her, you are manifesting God and showing faith to her, and it encourages her to have more faith, to hang on stronger, to trust more in God. And without you there, she's left hanging. Because that might not be her gift. You belong. You're needed. The gift of giving. Maybe you're concerned with how finances are used, and you want to benefit others with those finances. Maybe you have the gift of getting. It's true. If you have the gift of getting, you very well might have the gift of giving. Because God supplies you with resources above and beyond what you need. Not so that you can have more, but so that you can give more. You might have the gift of giving. Some obvious places for that would be missions or like the teacher baskets that are happening out here today. I tell you what, you go to John or Dawn, that's our youth minister and our children's director. You go to either of them. What did I say? Okay, I thought I was being corrected. I didn't. Sometimes I get names mixed up. So you go to John and Dawn, and I guarantee you ask them, if you have the gift of getting and the gift of giving, and you go to them and you say, what can I donate that would benefit your ministry? What can I buy for your ministry? If they can't produce a list for you on the spot, which I would almost guarantee either of them would be able to pop off a number of things, say, well, we need this. Or if we had this, we could make this ministry. If we had this, we could do this. If we had this, we could actually involve more people here, because we don't have this, we can't involve the people in that. You see how that works? Worship team, you wouldn't think about that. We got equipment that's breaking, cords are going out. If you got the gift of getting, you got the gift of giving, go to one of the people in the worship team and say, hey, I'd like to buy something that would benefit the worship team here. Use these gifts. Be a part of the body. If you have the gift of service or help, you might have the feeling that you just live to help others. You do not like to do things that would be noticed. You'd much rather work behind the scenes. If so, you probably have the gift of helps or the gift of service. And that gift is unique because you will do things that other people will not do. And that's good. That's really good. There's a lot of things. Read through those things. You know, maybe if your gift isn't to teach, but you love children and you'd love to see them grow as a helper, you could be a teacher's aide in a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night program. And I guarantee you, teachers, wouldn't that be wonderful? Especially with the younger age groups. Those helpers there. And you might not be able to teach. You might not be able to have that gift. But if you're there, you're empowering the teacher to be able to teach. And you're giving service. And you're also giving an example to those children, who some of those children might later be gifted with the gift of service. And they'll be able to look back at what you did. And they will be empowered. You see how it works. Please don't miss it. I'm sitting down because I don't want to be too excited about this. Otherwise, I'd be jumping all around the stage and my papers go flying everywhere. And I need these. I got to keep running here. A small area here, I'll go back to the worship team. I don't want to pound them too much. But something that you wouldn't realize that would be a great use of the gift of service and help. This stage, it gets rearranged for different things. How many of you guys have been to the well? They transform this room, don't they? That's a lot of work. Do you know that the musicians, and it's only a select few of the musicians, and our sound engineer, I won't give his name so he can remain anonymous. They spend all day long on Sunday. They go out and get something to eat. They come back here. They're all day long here doing that. Then they're another hour and a half or 2 hours doing the sound check and the practice before. Then they're another hour doing the actual well. If you have the gift of help and the gift of service, you could come in and you could say, hey, what can I do? What can I help? And it might get to the point where you would be able to just decorate this. You might not be creative, but if they tell you, here's what you do. You put this here, you put this here, you angle this light here, you put this here, put this film here. You could do that. And not, okay, maybe that sounds too difficult. And you're saying, you know, that sounds too complicated. This stage, it has to return to this every week. If we have the well, if we have a funeral, if we have a Christmas Eve service or an Easter service or anything special that happens at the stage, it has to return to this. You could come and you could fix it back. You could clean up and tear down lights and pull down the blankets and stuff that they've got everywhere. You could do that. You know how much that would help the worship team? And then they could focus on worship, which is their gift. Because you'd be using your gift. There's a place where you belong. Knowledge. If you get instant and specific information that you'd have no other way than God, you might have the gift of knowledge. The ability to receive a specific truth from God's word, you might be able to have the gift of knowledge. Now, here's something that I'm wanting to start because I want this time on Sunday to be just even greater. I'm just a man. I'm just me. I only have one viewpoint. I only have one perspective. And I've been meeting once a week with Mike. He's been the elder over preaching. And we've been discussing, and that's been great because it's been stretching me. It's been taking me through some tough times because you have to realize that you don't have things in order to figure out what you need to put in. And that's not easy for anybody. I hope not. I hope I'm not just the only one that gets bummed when you go through those times. But I'm learning I need more input. If you have the gift of knowledge, the gift of insight from God's word, or maybe some of the, like the gift of faith, the desire to increase the trust level of this church in God, I'd like to put together a preaching team. A team that I could meet with and discuss what I'm looking at. And there'd be places in there where you'd be able to jump in and say, oh, you could do this. And I'd say, you know, I never would have thought about that because that's not my gift. My gift's teaching and evangelism. My gift's not faith. So you can bring that to the table. My gift's not discernment. You might be able to come in and say, oh, this is foggy. Here's where you need to go. You might have the gift of wisdom. All right, so that's just another place. We got places for everybody. Mercy, pastoral care and shepherding, teaching, wisdom. We talked a little bit about that. Now, if you have those gifts, I want you to look down through there. Take the spiritual gift test today. If you want to sign up for the book, sign up for the book today on the yellow sheet. If you know your spiritual gift and you're looking at that sheet and you've circled something and the Holy Spirit's working on your heart and you feel the Holy Spirit in you going, yeah. All right. Does anybody feel that? Are you feeling, oh, we got some people feeling that. Say, hey. Here's where you need to go. Then I've got these sheets posted out in the foyer there. This is upside down. All right. Definitely want to put God up top. Okay, he's a supporting role, he's a leading role. Okay, anyway. So this what? Sit back down, okay. This is a ministry organization chart for all of the ministries here at the church. So if you see a ministry on that yellow sheet and you say, I would like to be a part of that, go find this sheet. This sheet will tell you in our ministry system here at the church, we've got an elder, a ministry leader, and a staff over each of those areas. Find one of those three people today. If you can't find them today, call the church office, get their phone number, call them Monday. Say, I felt the feeling of the Holy Spirit inside of me calling me to do this. He wants to show himself through me in this area, and I'm calling you because I want to join your team. Where can you put me? I guarantee you we'll find a place to put you. There can never be too many people. I want you guys to not have any excuse when you leave here today, because I feel that we've spent a couple weeks talking about how great the need is for the Holy Spirit. How much we are deficient of the Holy Spirit. I think we covered that well. I want us to do something about it now. Each part is needed for growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, it does what? It grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The body is healthy when each part is doing its work. Understood? Amen? All right, am I communicating clearly this morning? Good news. When the body is healthy, it will grow. Go back and look at the past newsletters. On the back of the newsletters, if you're looking at it online, it's the last sheet of the newsletter. We have the weekly attendance. If the body is healthy, it will grow. The body's only healthy when all the parts are doing its part. We haven't been growing. That tells me that the Holy Spirit has not been manifesting himself here. That's an easy fix. It's an easy fix. Let him work through you. Let him manifest himself through you. I've heard people say, I just don't want to be part of a big church. I like being part of a small church. I like being part of a small church because I like knowing everyone that's there. That is probably one of the most selfish statements you can make about God's church. It's not your church. It's not yours to decide that. In fact, that statement is contrary to what the Spirit wants in God's church. God's Spirit wants growth. He wants to see a healthy church. He wants to see, because see what happens when we put all this together and God's revealing himself through you and through you and through you and through you and through you, and we're all allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest himself, then God is being shown in this church. God would draw people to this church. It's not programs. It's not people. It's God being revealed. But God reveals himself through the people, through the programs. So we need those things. If we're not doing that, if we're not allowing him access, God's not going to be seen and we're not going to grow because we're not healthy. I love you guys. I think we got a great church. But we can't think like that. Jesus revealed some antidote to that type of thinking. In the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 12, the disciples go to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, man, there's just too many people. We're out in the middle of nowhere. There's 5,000 men, they counted. No telling how many women and children were there. Huge number of people. They're saying, it's too big. There are too many people here. We can't handle this. And what do they do? What do they? We got the scripture here. They say, send them away. Send them away. There we go. That's what the disciples say. They come to Jesus. They say, send him away. What does Jesus say? He says, nuh-uh, keep them here. Feed them. Give them something to eat. Love them. Let God manifest himself through you and reveal himself. See, Jesus was saying, I'm here to show you how to love. Let me step back. Let you be the vessel that God leads people to him through. Which is amazing because Jesus is the man, and yet he takes a back step and he humbles himself and says, hey, I want it to be about God working through you, not just me. And that was while he was here on earth. So I think we can take some wisdom with us from that, because I think a lot of us that fear a large church or fear growth, I think subconsciously you sabotage church growth because you don't want to use your gift, because you know if you use your gift, then it's going to grow. And that's just wrong. And I think you don't want a big church because you want to belong. Because you want to be a part. You want to feel important. And right now you feel important because it's a small church. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. Because the bigger the church gets, the more it grows, the more important your part is. The more necessary your part is to keep that church healthy. In the feeding of the 5,000, we get the wisdom from that. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus specifically sends the disciples out to collect the leftovers. They each come back with 12 basketfuls. One basketful for each disciple that went out and collected. Folks, when we grow and we give, God is going to give more. And we are going to belong more. You have been given the power to belong. If you're not belonging, it's because you're not using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. You think that you might feel like you belong because you go to an event or you go to the well or you go to the church picnic and you go there and you go home and you say, you know, I just didn't feel like I belonged. Those are fellowship. That's not belonging. Belonging is you fitting in, doing your part. And when you're there, you'll know the power to belong.